Hello, lovely listeners. On this episode, we talk about delays, more acquisitions, Sony PC ports that aren't Bloodborne, and GTA, GTA, GTA. You're listening to Pixels Radio, but first, introductions.
I'm Jose.
What's up? I'm Joey.
And I'm Rob. And as always, we will go into what we have been playing first.
And I'll start it off first. All right. Yes. And so I've been, again, I've always been playing like so many things, but what I've been focusing on and what's been grabbing my attention more has been Dungeon Encounters this week. And I talked a little bit about it last week in terms of it being such a simple looking game. But the gameplay mechanics are just so good. I literally just can't stop playing it. It's one of those games that just is holding my interest so much. And if you love RPGs, I do recommend it. It's definitely has a lot of Final Fantasy stuff in it. And I did mention it last time that it has all that magic. It's at its core, it's a great game. It's a great RPG at its core. Even if the actual like presentation doesn't like strike you, it doesn't grab you as much. It's a great game. It's very addicting. I had to tone down the music today, by the way, with Dungeon Encounters. I had to just put down the volume because the actual battle music was getting annoying to me. And I know a lot of, I've seen like a lot of people mention it, that the battle music is not as great. And I actually agree, the battle music is not as great. So it's pretty much like old symphony music, I guess. Or old, like, you know, stuff like Mozart and stuff like that. So it's that sort of a music, but it's like remixed into like rock, almost like rock battle music, if that makes any sense. And yeah, first time I had to do this, like pretty much just put the game on mute and just continued playing because I'm okay with some music, you know, even the way it sounds. But yeah, this one I just had to like turn it down, but definitely a surprise of a game. When it was first revealed, and it's actually like one of my favorite Switch games now. And I've just been playing a lot more of the Switch, especially with Smash Brothers, with Sora coming out. So I've been playing a bit of Smash Brothers, still playing Kena. Kena. I always say Kena, but it's Kena. I'm still playing Kena, so that's been holding my attention. But another thing I started, well, not started playing, so I actually got a Oculus Quest 2 recently. That's something I did not talk about the last week. And I've been playing this game called Supernatural. And this game is Beat Saber, but coming at you at every direction. And this workout is freaking intense. Let's just put it that way. Like, it's way worse than Beat Saber. Beat Saber barely makes me sweat when doing things on higher difficulty. This has like the difficulties of like slow intensity, like medium intensity, high intensity. Even the slow intensity stuff is like making me sweat so much. It's making me work out much more too. So kudos to Supernatural for doing that. It's a great sort of it's a great workout tool, more than anything. So definitely kudos to that. I know Resident Evil VR came out. Resident Evil 4 VR came out, and I will get to that. But I have so much stuff that I'm playing, especially like Dungeon Encounters is taking up my time. But yeah, I'm continuing on the Wii Fit Adventures thing, Rob.
The Wii Fit Adventures or Ring Fit?
Ring Fit.
Oh, yes. Okay, yes.
Yes, that's the one.
Like, you're picking Wii Fit up for me that since I haven't... I think it has been like 5 months since I last played it.
Oh, Yeah, it's been a while. Like, I haven't played Ring Fit in a while, but I was playing, like, Beat Saber every now and then. But now this has totally, like, got me into, like, gear. Pretty much the way it's set up. Like, it's a game. It's fun. Don't get me wrong, but it's fun. But this is definitely a workout tool compared to Beat Saber. Because Beat Saber, you could use as a workout, definitely. But if you want something to really kick your ass, Supernatural is the game to do it. And I think it's one of the best like fitness games like out. So, yeah, if anyone's into fitness and they have a Oculus Quest 2, definitely check it out. It's not available on PSVR either. So that was pretty surprising because I was actually looking for this game on PSVR before, just because I've heard great things about it. And it's not on PSVR. It's actually only on the Quest 2 at the moment. And I think it's only on the Quest 2. It might be on like the Vive and Steam, but yeah, the Quest 2 has been great compared to the PSVR. I guess the big thing with the Quest 2 is it's wireless. That's like the big, you know, the feel-good moment of getting the Quest 2. Yeah, it's definitely that. No interruptions with wires. And also, the technology is definitely better. Now, one thing I do give the PSVR 2, though, the PSVR is it's more comfortable. It's just Sony does better with design. It's just what it is. The Quest 2, while it is comfortable, the PSVR is just more comfortable and feels better on your head. And I know you could buy different straps for the Quest 2, but yeah, it there's definitely a difference. Like, you could tell the difference in, I guess, the quality of the build. But everything else, like, the technology is better on the Quest 2. Everything looks nice and clear. I mean, it could look better, obviously. Everything looks nice and clear. But yeah, no wires. And that makes me so happy. That I'm not tripping over stuff and there's no setup. So yeah, that's what I've been playing, like, all this week. Joey, what have you been playing?
A whole lot of nothing. I beat Dread last week, and then I'm just in like one of those ruts, and I have no idea what I want to play. I mean, it's not like I don't have enough choices. I just like can't decide on, like, I'll start something for like 10 minutes, and I'm like, don't feel like playing that. You know, try something else, and like, I don't really feel like playing that either.
Yeah, so, and that's why this week I actually like started playing like Dungeon and Encounters even more. I mentioned it last week about it, that, you know, I just started it and it just came out. But like you mentioned, there's just a lot of things to play, and Dungeon Encounters is my comfortable spot. Like, that's what I want right now.
Yeah, like after I beat Dread, I don't know, it's just like can't find anything that grabs me. Maybe, I mean, there's a lot of big games coming out very soon. I mean, Guardians is coming out, what, next week, I think?
Yeah, Guardians is out.
Forza the week after. Yeah. So there's definitely stuff coming out. So I'm not like, I don't really want to get into anything too long. Like, I'm not going to pick up an RPG right now, you know? But the one thing I did play, Rob and I played, what was that, last night, I think?
Yeah, Avengers. It was last night.
I always want to give that, like, the new costume. It's like the wolf costume for Cap. I was like, all right, you know, that looks cool. I'll come back to it, have a good time, and then, like, that game just does not make a good impression. Like, we were playing, and Rob didn't complete the Kate Bishop, like, mission set yet. I already did. And we played together, but then he can't continue if I'm in the party once we finish a mission. I have to exit out of the mission, and then he gets the cutscene, and then he has to add me back in. So, like, it's just, like, I don't know. That feels like something that's been figured out for, like, I don't know, 10 years probably by now. Like, just show me the cutscene. Who cares, you know? But, yeah. And then, like, there's just, like, weird glitches in that game. Like, it has good ideas. It just doesn't capitalize on, like, any of them, unfortunately. And like, there's a bunch of Halloween costumes and they're just like, not that creative. There's like, oh, here's Thor. And like, we're just going to change his skin color and give him red eyes. It's like, well, you know, that's, you know, I think skins are what, like $10 or $14 or something. I was like, well, that's not worth it. You know?
Yeah. There's different tiers. Yeah. Different tiers for them. And yeah, with the Halloween stuff, like, I get the no effort because like Street Fighter, they did like an amazing job with costumes for Halloween. So yeah, seeing Street Fighter in itself didn't have a budget, like just in general, seeing Street Fighter like 5 just come back and, you know, include all this content with the Champion Edition, and then seeing Avengers do it like in between, like, you know, it definitely, yeah, it's bothersome in terms of the actual like costume to pricing ratio.
Well, I mean, like, even something like Overwatch, they had really good Halloween costumes. I love theirs. They're, like, creative. Like, yeah, there has to be something you can do.
And to kind of, like, piggyback off that, with, like, Overwatch, like, to be fair, they don't, like, have Halloween costumes for everyone at a time.
Yeah.
So, like, if they had, like, a few cool-looking ones for... Because, like, they have Cap Wolf, which is kind of cool. But everyone else is like, oh, here's Undead, you know, Black Widow. It's like, okay, great. It's just like another skin with like, great.
I mean, that's just, you like know, Ms. Marvel's too, you know, it's like, well, you know.
Yeah. And like, if they had done it for like a few, like maybe like Cap and Iron Man and Thor this year and the next year, you know, a different three or, you know, just change it up instead of just like one and then just a more like recolors of existing skins that they have an ass load of at this point.
Mm-hmm. I think it doesn't help that a lot of their skins already are just like palette swappy, you know?
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I keep wanting to like Avengers a lot, but it just, I don't know. It's not convincing in the slightest. Rob, what have you been playing?
Well, I have been schlepping, which is the correct word, through Metroid Dread. I do not like that game. I don't hate it enough to stop playing it. But there's, like, I will just, like, stop playing it for, like, just put it down the controller. I really should have recorded myself, because I've had so many moments where, like, I would die and just put my head in my hands. Or throw my controller on my, not really throw it, but just kind of like toss it a little bit on my desk and just like, ugh. I just, it's not, well, because I've been playing a lot of like, not a lot, but like some Castlevania. I finished Circle of the Moon. I played a little bit of Symphony of the Night before I picked up Dread. So like, I was used to like that aspect of exploration, that aspect of, platforming, that aspect of I guess just general mechanics. And then so going from there to Metroid was a lot harder than, because I've never really like put this much time into a Metroid game.
Same.
So I mean, I'm sure this is basically the same, you know, mechanics as other Metroid games. But it's just like, I want more exploration. I want better just platforming. The bosses aren't really satisfying either. The only one that is are the Chozo Warriors, which I guess is a little spoiler, but whatever. Because like those feel like once you like you know what to do, and it's just a matter of keeping up the rhythm. And, like, you know, feeling it happen, like, dodging it, boom, 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 attacking, you know, dodging, attacking, and stuff like that feels, like, natural, like, once it gets going. But some of the other bosses are just like, fuck this shit so much. So, I'm, right before we started recording, I'm literally at the final boss fight. I kind of anticipating it taking me all day tomorrow. And then I can put that... we'll see.
It's not. I thought I had problems with previous bosses more than this last one, to be honest.
But we'll see, because like I feel like I don't have a lot of extra stuff either, so we'll see what happens with that. Yeah, and then I could finish the game and then shelve it forever. Yes, I've also been playing Avengers, and yes, you've pretty much echoed my sentiments. It's it's because when they first showed off the gameplay, what, last year? Or the year before, I don't remember now.
Yeah, I think it's the year before, right? Maybe. I don't know.
I don't remember either. I think it was the year before. I was very down on it. I was like, this doesn't look good. And then the beta was like, okay, you know what? This kind of works. And then, you know, playing the campaign was fun for the most part. And then just like the post-game stuff is just, it's not good. I mean, the core gameplay is fine.
Mm-hmm.
Like, once you actually get into the missions and you're doing the thing, but then, like, everything looks the fucking same. It's so easy to get lost. It's just like, this isn't fun. Plus, all, like, the stupid glitches throughout the game, which I know there's going to be glitches in, like, this kind of multiplayer type of game, but, like, it's just constantly. Like, there's some weird visual glitch or something. So it's just like not fun to play. And then other than that, I mean, I played a little bit of Sora and Smash Brothers, which you know what? I know y'all talked about it last week, but I have things to say about Sora and in Smash Brothers.
The floor is yours. There you go.
Yes,
so, it's yours there.
I've been trying to be more of a realist in terms of like announcements and stuff when it comes to things of this nature, just like trying not to get myself overhyped, because it's kind of like if you get yourself overhyped, you let yourself down in the end. And I've had that happen so many times where I'm like, man, this is so awesome. And then just like, oh, well, that's disappointing. I know originally, I think for the 2015 E3, the Sony conference,
2016 actually, now
very exciting, yeah. And thankfully, like since then, like I, for like Final Fantasy VII Remake, I toned down my hype, I guess, leading up to the game, and I was like, man, this is like when I played the game, I was like, this is really good. So I've been trying to like measure my response to these intentional hype moments, because this is an intentional hype moment, but I don't know. I know why. It kind of got me. Like, not to the point where I was, like, crying, but I'm just kind of like, it made me really, really happy. And I think it was mostly because of the trailer. Because, like, going into the final character announcement, my top three were, like, Sora, Master Chief, and Doomslayer. And then, like, my outside chance was, like, Ratchet and Clank. Like outside chance, I knew that wasn't gonna happen. So, Sora has kind of been on my want list for a while, and apparently he was on everyone's want list for a while. But watching that trailer, watching the build up, even though I knew it was Sora before, because I guess someone leaked it ahead of time, because I had just gone on my lunch break intending to watch the reveal, but like it got announced an hour before. So, like, watching the trailer, like, the reveal, the crescendo of the music, just kind of like, God damn it, I'm hyped for this. Like, it's such, and I think adding on top of it, too, like, this is the final Smash Brothers character. Like, that's it. Like, they might do some, like, updates, but that's it. I don't think they're going to do a Smash Ultimate Deluxe. At best, they'll do like a port of Ultimate for the Switch 2 if it's not backwards compatible. At best, but they're not going to add anything. Maybe a few levels. Maybe that's stretching it, but no. As far as I'm concerned, as far as I think the game is done. Anything after this that uses the Smash Brothers name will be like
a
basically
reboot.
Completely new.
Yeah, it would be a reboot. Yeah, that's where my thinking was going, and we mentioned it last week. Like, that's where I think it would go a reboot, completely, you know, rebooting the cast too, no third party.
Yes. I would say like no third party, or maybe one or two, very small. Maybe Sonic will return, just because it feels Sonic and Smash just feels right, you know. But like, yeah, I would guarantee it would be like a very pared down roster, maybe 20, 25 characters, maybe 30.
New movesets.
New movesets, like the same basic mechanics, like with Smash attacks and neutrals and stuff like that, but like completely rebuild gameplay for characters like Mario, distinguish like Luigi a little bit more from Mario, things like that. You know, just kind of like reset it and then kind of go from there, because it's Ultimate is a good clean break, and like I see so many people saying like, oh well, it makes financial sense. I'm like, it I guess makes financial sense, but that doesn't mean they're gonna do it. Just because like you want, I see people saying like, oh yeah, Ultimate Deluxe is gonna have like 3 or 4 new characters. Like, no, it's done. It's not gonna happen. There's no more. That's it. Ultimate's done. And it, for the most part, like Fighters Pass 2 had a good run. I'm still disappointed that we didn't get Twin L instead of Min Min. But I mean, frankly, I probably wouldn't have played Twin L that much anyway. Steve was an inspired choice for Minecraft. It makes a lot of sense. It's very random, but it makes a lot of sense. I just wish like I could. It just doesn't, I don't mesh well with his gameplay. Sephiroth was a good addition. It would have, because especially since he brought a lot more Final Fantasy VII music. Kazuya, yeah, you're gonna have you're gonna have a Tekken character. The stupid game is made by Bandai Namco. You're gonna have a Tekken character in there.
Yeah, it was bound to happen. All right, so let's.
I'm just glad it wasn't Heihachi.
Well, he was in PlayStation All Star, so I guess that, you know.
Yeah, he was also in Soul Calibur, so yeah. Well, that doesn't really mean anything.
Well, they were very similar. It's pretty much they just could have just moved them over, over, and nothing would change. But let's go ahead and talk about Sora a little bit more. Well, here's my thing. So I finally got to play it because it finally came out on the 18th. I'm all for Sora. It's definitely a great addition, great final character. Was hype about it, and I think I mentioned it last week that not having Donald and Goofy kind of upsets me. Well, yeah, playing Sora in Smash and not seeing Donald and Goofy, and then like playing Kingdom Hearts. I just like played Kingdom Hearts 3, like I literally like played a few minutes of it just because of Sora being in Smash. And Donald and Goofy, they should have been in it. Like, I know Disney wouldn't have allowed it, but it definitely makes it seem like something is missing without them. It probably might not be the same to you, but
it does feel like it's an aspect of the character has been kind of cut off a little bit. Like the Final Smash should have been like Trinity with Donald and Goofy, like a Trinity attack with Donald and Goofy. I think that would have been, I mean, his Final Smash as is pretty good, but like, yeah, Donald and Goofy should have shown up a little bit more, even if it is like, I don't know, something. But yeah, it's a little disappointing, but like, it's kind of like the realistic aspect of it, since, you know, it's kind of like it took so long for them to just negotiate, like Sora and Steve apparently, to be in the game. So I'm just really glad they didn't get Goku or some other meme character.
Well, Goku wasn't gonna happen if they couldn't get Donald and Goofy. Goku was definitely not gonna happen. Like, you know, putting it into perspective. Well,
I mean, technically, they still negotiated with Disney for Sora, but, like, still, it's just kind of like, I'm just glad a meme character didn't get in. But no, I mean, Sora's gameplay is fun. I'm really glad that that's one thing I haven't liked about both Fighters Passes is, like, some characters that I'm kind of interested in, they went with, like, very unique mechanics, like Steve, Minecraft, Banjo-Kazooie, Hero to a lesser extent. And it's harder for me to, like, kind of jump into that. But with Sora, it just felt, like, very easy. And, like, that's something that they or the Sakurai had mentioned, is, like, he wanted Sora to be easy for everyone to use, which I appreciate. I don't have to, like, fiddle with just esoteric mechanics.
I guess Donald, for me, Donald and Goofy, like, kind of like it sours it a bit. It's like bittersweet. It's like, okay, he's the last character. Then it's like, but he's missing Donald and Goofy. Like, I don't hear, like, Donald, like, you know, or Goofy, like, speaking in some of his moves, because I'm pretty sure if they were able to use them, we would have seen, like, Donald and Goofy show up doing, like, magic attacks with Sora, going into, like, the different forms. So kind of bittersweet. For me.
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree. Ultimately, like, he did need, like, that his, he did need the boys to come to show up as well. I am somewhat tangentially related is the costumes that they chose. I do like how 1 through 4 is using costumes from the different games, like Kingdom Hearts 1, 2, Dream Drop Distance, and 3, which is really cool. Even though Sora's face still looks young. Kingdom Hearts 3. It's Kingdom Hearts 3 skin, but it's like it's fine. I am a little disappointed. However, the next four, the last four skins are okay. I would have preferred Halloween Town, but that's just me being a spoopy bitch. but I would have liked to have, like, different keyblades for the different, like, skins. So it's not just, like, the kingdom key. Like, I know you couldn't really have the ones based on, like, the Disney worlds, but you could have had, like, Oathbreaker, Oathkeeper, I'm sorry, not Oathbreaker. Oblivion, Ultima, like, stuff like that would have been kind of cool. But it's like, whatever, it's fine, I guess.
Well, even if they had Halloween Town stuff, like, that would have caused more licensing issues, like the costumes.
Yeah, well, not really, not Sora's, because Sora's is still pretty unique. He doesn't really have anything that's... It's kind of like Timeless River. It's like there's not anything that would be... It invokes Nightmare Before Christmas, but it's not like copying anything in Nightmare Before Christmas. So, but that's just me. I did watch a lot of trailer compilations of Ultimate and 4. I guess 4 3DS, 4 Wii U. And Smash Ultimate, like, the trailers got so much better than 4. I remember Mega Man's reveal and Pac-Man's reveal, like, were really good. And then watching them again, like, yeah, they're still pretty cool. Like, you know, CG and really pretty hype moments. But there's not much lead up to the surprise. It's just immediately just, you know, Mega Man shows up in the beginning. Not like Simon and Richter showing up where Luigi gets killed. Stuff like that. Kind of like the lead up to it. Or, you know, like the lead up to Sephiroth. That one was a good one, too. But yeah, this is the end of Smash. Well, this iteration of Smash. I mean, it's been going on for like, fuck, what? Over 20, oh god,
yeah, over 20 years. 20 years, yeah.
It's been like 20 years since, Melee. So yeah, 98 was, I think, 64, something like that. But yeah, I mean, that's it for Smash. All right, let's talk some delays, shall we?
Our favorite part. Sure. Yes. Yeah. Oh man, so this is definitely a big one for me. Because this was the one game remake, reboot, whatever you want to call it. This is the one which I was going to buy and I was going to spend money on it and I wouldn't have felt as robbed. The game I'm talking about is Advance Wars 1 and 2 Reboot Camp. It has been delayed. Currently delayed to spring 2022. And I'm so upset. It's the one Switch game I was waiting for this year. Once it announced, yeah, this was the one. So it's coming out 2022. Have you guys played Advance Wars way back when?
I don't know.
A little bit, but I don't like strategy games, so not very much.
This is the one I've been waiting for, and that's why I'm like, we need to mention this delay, and hopefully it doesn't get delayed again. I know, like, it was very close when this got announced. It was, again, in the fall as well, so the delay is not as surprising. In that sense, the delay is not as surprising. But with Nintendo, it's you know, I just don't know now. I just don't know when this is coming out because Breath of the Wild got delayed. Breath of the Wild 2 actually got delayed internally, so I'm not sure when this is coming out.
I have a conspiracy about Breath of the Wild
too. Oh no.
Yeah. Oh boy.
I mean, it's nothing big. I have a feeling that they're gonna delay it again until the Switch 2 comes out and have it as a launch title.
I mean, that would probably be a good idea, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. That's like my conspiracy, I guess. Not that I mean, I'm not. It's pretty, I guess, neutral, because it's like, it makes sense to release it with the system since it got delayed till next year anyway. And then I think the rumor has maybe next year or like first quarter, second quarter of 2023 for the Switch 2.
I don't think the Switch 2 is coming in 2023. That's
okay. Yeah.
I can see a delay coming for Breath of the Wild 2. Because it's already been internally delayed, as we know of. Then seeing like Advance Wars getting delayed too, I think there's more with actual development. Obviously, COVID still going on. The pandemic is still going on, and Nintendo was always, you know, much more in taking their time with stuff. So definitely. I definitely see the delay for Breath of the Wild for 2023, but I don't see a Switch 2. I say give it 3 more years to counteract
three
that.
3 more years?
Yeah.
I mean, we're already at 4 years at the moment, so it would stand a reason if it comes out. Yeah,
I say 3 more years.
Well, yeah, a little less. I don't know. I mean, even though I would like it, it's not like one of those things where I'm like, oh man, it's going to happen. Well, I mean, obviously it's going to happen. There's going to be a successor. But I'm not expecting it like anytime soon. Because, I mean, it's still, the stupid system's still selling gangbusters. So yeah, I mean, they can take their time with it at this point. I hope they just don't fuck it up like they did with the Wii U.
Hopefully that was their hard lesson, you know?
Yeah, just like call it, you know, something else. There have been some rumors about, I guess now we're talking about Switch rumors, whatever. I saw some rumors about like they're gonna use like a different architecture, so they're not sure internally about backwards compatibility, which I think will be a huge,
Lordy.
Especially for the Switch, would be a huge deficit.
Don't start
that, and don't include Breath of the Wild 2 or Advance Wars 1 and 2 there. Oh, that would not be good. Yeah, that would not be good for any Switch. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but yeah, that's, I mean, at this point, it's like, whatever, who cares? As far as the Switch rumors, it's just like, all right, it'll happen when it happens. Yeah. I guess let's also talk about the other...
Delays, yes.
Clearly obvious delay is Witcher 3 and Cyberpunk's next-gen patches got delayed until next year, I think.
Yes, 2022.
I don't know if they give a date.
They did not give a date. And that's very concerning.
I mean, it's kind of on brand at this point.
It is 100% on brand. Like, I don't think they've delivered on anything. Hold on, I gotta look up their timeline. Give me a sec. I don't think they've delivered on anything of their timeline that they were gonna do for Cyberpunk.
Well, they did. Well, the PlayStation version did get that patch, which I think allowed it to come back on the store, or maybe not, because I did buy the game. I did buy the disc version because I said I was gonna buy.
It's back on the store.
Oh, is it back? Okay, now it's back.
For a couple months now. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It
just
has.
Making sure. That's how far gone. Like on brand, I'm already over Cyberpunk. I've always said they should have. This game should have got released on PC and just delayed everything else.
I don't know if that would have helped it even.
Well, it wouldn't. It wouldn't have helped it. It wouldn't have helped it in terms of you know, the console versions, but doing it on PC, like leaving it just on PC,
well,
it would have like.
I think it would have helped the console versions because it would have given them a little bit more time to polish it.
I mean, polish, yeah, but overall game, no.
No. I mean, it's fundamentally a broken ass game. From the get go. Oh yes. So apparently, yes, this year. I'm looking at their stupid roadmap, which is like the dumbest shit ever because there's like no.
Yeah, solid roadmap. It's
just
bad,
like 2021.
Yeah.
We're having stuff. Yeah, so it had patch 1.1, 1.2, which I think they're at 1.4 right now. Free DLCs, which I don't think they've had any free DLCs yet for the game. And then the free next gen console update, which obviously got delayed. And then that was it for the roadmap. Like, it didn't give like an estimated time, like, oh, fall or whatever. It's just like, eh. Whatever.
Yeah, I mean, The Witcher 3 patch was supposed to be out like now, I think.
Yeah.
I think that was like holiday, you know?
Yeah, they shouldn't even have announced The Witcher 3. They should have 100% focused on Cyberpunk. Yeah.
That should just be a shadow
Get
drop,
that out.
If anything, for Witcher 3.
Yeah, exactly. Get it ready and then release it when it's ready. It's like, oh, hey, you know. Even if like Cyberpunk got delayed and they're like, oh, we have, you know, The Witcher 3 next gen patch out, and then, you know, I think that would have generally been better.
Oh,
but
big
it definitely
time.
Seems like it was a stockholder, like, you know, we have to announce it to get them excited.
Yeah, I mean, I just think they need some serious project management going on, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
They should have scrapped The Witcher 3. Next gen update, that should have not been a thing. When they revealed it, they just sort of said, no, we need to continue working on Cyberpunk, and just scrapped it. And maybe like the shadow, you know, shadow drop it. That's how it should have been done. But now, like, looking at, you know, now seeing all these delays, they just said, like, screw it, we're canceling the Witcher 3 patch. Like, they have to take some responsibility.
I don't think they can put the genie back in the bottle now.
No,
with the Witcher 3 patch.
Either.
Yeah. Just that they announced it. They announced it before they should have. But, like, once it's out there, you may as well just release it. Like, it's essentially supposed to be, like, free brownie points. But, yeah, that's not really a thing at this point. It just kind of adds more fuel to the fire.
Yeah.
That is Cyberpunk, right? Or sorry, CD Projekt, right?
They did just acquire somebody, too. That's going to be supposedly working on a Witcher or Cyberpunk spinoff of some sort. They acquired Digital Snow? The people who did Drake Hollow and Flame in the Flood.
Because like I remember them mentioning that there's supposed to be a multiplayer component of Cyberpunk.
Oh yeah, that's never gonna.
Yeah, that's not happening.
That's not happening.
Yeah, that's not happening. Yeah, it's gone. Everyone, it's gone.
Flood is the is the studio that they acquired. Which
yeah, I mean, which honestly is probably the best to not have that shit because it's just like we.
Yeah.
No,
I felt like since they acquired somebody, I feel like they should acquire some kind of support.
Yeah, they need a support studio.
Versus a studio that's going to look to create, even if it's a smaller game, like an offshoot, you know, like they need support, mm-hmm. obviously.
Okay, what do you guys think about this? It's very far-fetched, but Sony probably acquiring CD Projekt.
Nope.
CD Projekt's absolutely massive, money-wise.
At this point, yeah.
It's
because they also have GOG, too, so...
Yeah, I mean, it's huge. And mm-hmm. that would just be such a money sink to try to turn that studio around for Goodwill. It's just not there.
Well, it's not for Goodwill. It wouldn't be for Goodwill. It would be for the actual licenses. The actual, like, for The Witcher and for Cyberpunk.
It'd Is be- it worth it?
For The Witcher, it could be worth it for them, just because Microsoft has a majority of the RPG studios currently, Western RPGs.
They don't have a majority of the Western RPGs. They have like the big one.
Well, they're missing like Larian Studios. That's pretty much all they're missing in terms of, you know, bigger Western RPGs with big lore, I guess. So, you know,
but they don't need it,
though. I know. Yeah, it's like they don't need it, but it could work.
It would be a waste, though.
Yeah, for Sony it would be a waste. I don't see them doing that, especially since, like, even though they buy CD Projekt Red, that doesn't necessarily mean that they'll keep the licenses, because Cyberpunk mm-hmm. and The Witcher are both like third-party licenses. License, they don't own those.
Yeah. Probably. Yeah.
And then they'd what would they do with GOG? Like, that's a huge part of their business.
Yeah, I mean, they could essentially spin it off, because I think... Oh, yeah, I remember, Sony itself, not, like, PlayStation, bought mm-hmm. the Game Show Network, and the Game Show Network also owned Game Show Network Games, which was a mobile studio, and they recently sold that off. So, I mean, it's possible that they could spin off GOG into its own thing.
Yeah.
If they were to acquire CD Projekt Red, but that's not going to happen.
And that just doesn't fit in line with people that Sony acquires.
No, nothing like that. I feel like if they were going to acquire anyone, it'd be much more of a more small to mid-sized studio with like a good track record, like a Blue Point or something else.
Yeah, my only wild thinking for that would be the licenses of The Witcher. That would be the only one where... You know, where it's like, would that be worth it for them?
I mean, at that point, they may as well, if they want that, then they can just negotiate an exclusivity deal mm-hmm. with CD Projekt Red. Yep. I think that would be money better well spent than purchasing the studio outright.
I mean, it'd be cheaper. It'd be less of a headache to deal with that studio, you know?
And then they'll have support.
Yeah, you don't have to manage them. They mm-hmm. just kind of do their own thing.
Yep. That'd be the way to go.
Get Nixes on there to support.
Yeah, I mean, they could. But I guess we'll briefly also talk about Xbox not being done with the acquisitions.
Yes.
Yes, Phil Spencer says that Xbox is definitely not done with buying game studios, but I don't think he mentioned what...
No.
Studios are looking at.
I mean, that was such a nothing quote.
Yeah.
He's not going to say, oh, yeah, we're done. No, because, like, companies are always, always looking. Everybody's looking, you know, whether they mm-hmm. end up buying them or not. They're all, if you're not looking, then, like, they're probably going to get poached by somebody else, potentially. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah. I also don't think that there's going to be any other, like, bombshell purchase like Bethesda. I think that was kind of like a big...
Yeah, for sure.
A big, big thing. And at this point, it's just kind of like, well, it'll be smaller studios, if anything. Yeah. But yeah, it's... I think it would still behoove them to do the Nintendo route to be like, hey, you know, we want this game. Can you guys make it?
Yeah. And I mean, they have, what, 20-some studios now. They're just going to start pumping out some games, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're just in the lull, like kind of getting ramped up. Yeah. So I think in like maybe two more years, maybe one more year, we'll see.
We'll start seeing, like the production of that.
The next year, a whole bunch of games going to start to come out. You
know? 2025. And even then, we might not even see.
I don't even think that far.
I think that far. We also have to think about delays. I think 2025 is when we start seeing like a steady flow
I don't think it's going to be that far.
I'm talking about like a steady flow, like how Sony is a well-oiled like machine in terms of like getting games out. We're going to start seeing that 2025 for Xbox.
I mean, they're better than Microsoft, which has been notorious about like canceling and delaying shit.
Well, they have so many studios now. Like, that's, I think it's going to take that long. Like, we're finally going to see all the stuff. And I mentioned this before. Like, I did mention this back when Ninja Theory got bought. I mentioned this during like their first like conference with like Fable, when they showed off Fable, the CD trailer, like Perfect Dark. Like, that's not gonna be ready for like a little while, and we're gonna start seeing all that release like, I don't, not in a year or two. I still say it's about 3 years, 4 years out. And Bethesda stuff,
then the dev time for what, Senua's Sacrifice 2 or whatever is going to be like 7 years? I don't think so.
Yeah, like there's a, that one. I mean, the Obsidian has like a few things in the pipeline, which I feel like, what is it, the Outer Worlds 2, which I feel like since they already have like the basis for, like that could be out relatively quickly.
I think it's really going to start hitting, and after Starfield, they're going to start coming out.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Starfield and Elder Scrolls 6 have been in development for like quite a while. So
I don't think Elder Scrolls is coming out until 2027. Like, I just don't see it.
No.
It'd be like the longest development.
I don't see it. Like,
game ever?
2025.
We have to look at Bethesda's track record, too. Like, I just don't see it.
That long on a game?
I think they have.
I feel like they have, yeah.
They have.
But, like, I mean, it kind of, I guess it depends on, because Starfield is pretty, because what, it comes out next year?
Yeah, November.
Or 2023?
No, next year, November.
Next year. Oh, okay.
That's if it doesn't get delayed. That's
true, but you have that asterisk on
everything. Yeah, we have, just like, now,
every game.
Now we have to put that into focus. Just the way everything.
I mean, you could say that for anything.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't think it's going to be. I think it's November.
I don't think we're going to. I mean, we're going to start seeing stuff like drop depending on the size of the scope of the project and depending on how long certain things have been in. Like Obsidian's other like AAA RPG, I feel like that one's probably several years off.
Avowed. Avowed.
Oh, yeah. Generic ass name. I do feel like that one is going to be like a while. But yeah, like even though it was just announced with like a CG trailer teaser, not even a trailer, this past year, I do think that, it'll probably be out sooner rather than later just because they have a basis going forward.
I mean, probably like an early 2023, I'm guessing.
I'd say maybe mid, if not,
maybe 2024. That's my prediction on that one. There's no way.
No.
2024.
Maybe so a delay into 2024, but no.
And Fable, 2024, 2023, late 2023, 2024. I just don't see, you know,
anybody releasing games for 4 years.
No, I just don't see them progressing as much. Like games like from Bethesda, the ones I do see that would come out in 2023 would be like Wolfenstein, Doom, like that stuff I see. But then there's other ones where it's like, I don't see these games coming out. Like Elder Scrolls, I don't see coming out until 2027. Like I just don't, 2026 maybe. They do have.
No, I think that's like 5-6 years out. I don't think it's going to take that much longer. On top of however long they've been in pre-production or, you know, general production, I don't think they're as bad as BioWare in terms of that. So, I mean, I guess we'll see. Like, yeah. I definitely do think we're going to start getting a lot more games start dropping in the next year or two, especially from both Sony and Microsoft.
I think a lot of when Elder Scrolls comes out depends on, assuming Starfield does hit its date November 2022.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I could see them pushing it back
if it doesn't,
pushing back Elder Scrolls back if Starfield gets pushed back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Either way, there's a lot of games coming out all over the place soon, so
But yeah, speaking of Microsoft and expectations, they apparently internally missed their Game Pass target by 11%. They wanted 48% growth by the end of June, or by June of this year. Yeah. And then they only had 37% growth, which is still pretty respectable.
Yeah.
I mean, they're growing. That's all that we can, you know.
Yeah.
So they're growing. It's just taking time.
I do wonder at what point it's going to, like, bottom out, though.
Probably not for a little bit yet. I don't imagine. I mean, there was no, like, real heavy-hitting first-party game that came out.
That's true.
It'll be interesting to see what this looks like after Forza and Halo come out.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah, that's where it's going to be, like, very interesting because, you know, there was, like, false speculation. Well, not false speculation. This is actually rumors of supposedly insiders, leakers, saying that Game Pass hit 30 mil, which in actuality, it did not hit 30 mil at all. Because going by the percentages, it only seems like it's around 20 to 23 mil going by percentages and going by the numbers that were given by Microsoft. Like you're mentioning, after Halo and Forza, that's where it's going to be interesting to see a growth. You know, how fast it grows, how it's growing in terms of pricing, because a majority of the actual pricing so far that we've seen, a lot of people have been joining with the $1 subscriptions, and I have been joining with the $1 subscriptions and, you know, things of that nature. So I want to see the trend after, like, those big games. Because it's definitely great that it's a business model that Microsoft is following, and it seems like it's their main strategy. So I want to see what the numbers look like when bigger titles release, because it is their main strategy. So, you know, it's kind of this is another, like, wait and see in that sense. Because I think Halo and Forza are going to determine Game Pass going forward. What I'm scared about most, because I like having the games as a subscription, because you could play different games that you might not even like. What I'm scared about most is just, like, these subscriptions turning into, like, apps, like. You know how there's HBO Max, there's this thing, you know, there's a Discovery Plus. I'm worried about developers, there being a Game Pass, and same with PlayStation Now, there being the Game Pass, PlayStation Now, but inside those subscriptions, you have to pay for Ubisoft games. Inside those subscriptions, you have to pay for a Capcom subscription.
I mean, there's been no proof of that
happening. Yeah, there's no proof of that happening, but it could very well go into that, and that's what I'm afraid of for the future of this.
That would be the antithesis of what Microsoft has said Game Pass has been since it was
started. Well, Microsoft could offer Game Pass with their first-party titles. By that time, by the time it gets to this point, they'll have enough first-party titles by the time it gets to this point. So, you know, seeing a Ubisoft channel, you're paying a Game Pass subscription, and then you're paying for a Ubisoft channel just to get those games. That's where it bothers me. That's where this bothers me as a main business thing.
But why does it bother you if it doesn't exist yet?
Because it's definitely going towards that. Like, the same with the apps. The same with the apps. For TV, where, you know, first Netflix started it, right? So now we have Netflix, we have HBO Max, we have Disney Plus. We have everybody taking their content somewhere and making you pay for it separately.
But I don't think those are straight comparable, though.
Well, it's something to look at as well, because that's the same model. Because if they're following they're following a Netflix sort of model, and this is their main business driver, then this is a potential that can happen, and it could potentially.
I mean, I don't know. I think that's just, like, kind of like being a doomer about, like, where it might go, because that would just destroy the entire business. Like, almost immediately.
I mean, it wouldn't destroy the business of its, you know, catching on, but
if you have to pay more and get less, yeah, it definitely will.
I mean, you're paying less right now, but you know, with a subscription, you're always expecting the prices to go up. And even then,
yes, but they're removing tons of content potentially and making you pay.
Yeah, well, not removing tons of content. Well, not removing tons of content, because now it's not a removal of content. It's more about third-party developers being like, okay, now we're going to make our own channel within Game Pass. You have to pay more.
Why would they do that if
they're getting more money?
Blackjack.
More money.
But they're getting paid.
Well, they'll get more money from Microsoft and the consumer.
But they're already getting paid from Microsoft.
But how about they want more money? That's my whole thing.
People drop it and don't pay for it.
Well, that's if people drop it
because it's too much.
Well, we'll see.
It just seems like too much of a risk that doesn't really have any reward for a consumer whatsoever.
Well, we will actually see, because that's my main thing with it being a main business driver. I'm just worried that every third-party developer is going to out-contract themselves. So Microsoft pays them just to have their channel on Game Pass. And then from there, you have to buy another subscription on top of that. Oh my God. Just me thinking about it, I'm like, oh, it's just too much. I just don't want it. Yeah, I just don't want it happening. I just don't want it happening to gaming. I'll take a physical copy anytime at the moment. Just to make this future not become a reality.
I mean, you can have that future. I'll have the one we currently have right now.
So. You mean the present? That's the one. No, I don't.
I just don't see it going that complicated and that adding on. I mean, I guess it could. Anything could happen, but they already seem pretty happy of getting paid by Microsoft and then selling their game on any other store as it is right now, you know? Unless some subscription included literally every game in their catalog, I can't see it happening.
Now, another way I did, now speaking into like a subscription, I guess this goes into that, but in terms of how would they create more growth, you know, during Halo and Forza, the PC Game Pass it doesn't have anything attached to it. Maybe if it comes to Steam. But even then, that's a whole other can of worms. That's another way I can see where the growth would probably get up to that 48% like they do want internally. If they bring like Game Pass to Steam and make it like make it within the UI, I guess, or make it a certain section within Steam. Like, I don't see it happening, but that could potentially get it to that 48% growth.
I think they just have to release games. They need to release their top games and actually be able to produce more Series X's, because those things are not being produced. They are not having enough out there. Sony's like crushing them and actually creating or building consoles at the moment.
The mistake was the Series S. That was the mistake, because the actual chip.
The mistake was just trying to do it during a pandemic. I think the Series S is actually a decent idea, and especially if you look at places like they're like actually selling well in Japan for Microsoft, and like I think it's a good idea, but like they need to do that, and they need to fix the Microsoft Game Pass store, whatever, Xbox app, whatever it is on PC, because that thing's a disaster.
Yeah, it's bad. It's still killing my storage, by the way. So yeah.
This conversation will make a lot more sense to have after Forza comes out, and especially after Halo comes out.
Well, yeah, that's what I want to see. I want to see what the growth is. That's definitely something to check out, seeing when the actual games hit. So, yeah, but I'm still, you know, for me, it's still a shaky road because the future is not looking good. I just see, like, those trends. And I said it with TV apps. And lo and behold, so I'm predicting this. I'm predicting this one. See you guys in a few years with that, because I feel like there's a trend. There's going to be a trend going on soon with that. And that's my prediction for 5 years out.
And speaking of predictions, let's talk about the state of play that Sony announced for the 27th. So about the time this podcast will probably go up.
Yep. Predictions?
Because they said, I think they said third party and some reveals. It was only going to be, 20 minutes. So I'm not expecting like some big jaw-dropping reveal. It'll probably just be some small stuff. I'm going to wager Deathloop DLC just to keep that train going. But yeah, I mean, I'm going in with like no expectations. Like, it'd be cool to get a Final Fantasy 16 trailer. But after that, you know, it's like whatever. Honestly, I do feel like God of War PC was supposed to be announced at the State of Play, but it was accidentally leaked early and Sony just said, eh, fuck it.
Yeah, I could see that probably being one of their bigger reveals, to be honest. And but they had to have known. If it goes up on SteamDB, gets like everything. Like, that's the point. It's a
But I know there's a way to kind of go around that, because I know some things kind of...
Not many people have figured it out then.
No. Well, I know there is, because I remember like that was a big thing before.
Yeah.
And then something happened with like Steam's API, and that it changed. I think you have to like make it public and then it'll show up or something. I don't know how that works.
Either way, they did not do that.
No.
Yeah, that leaked the God of War on PC.
That'd be a lot more exciting if I wasn't stranded with a 970 right now.
Yeah.
But, graphics cards are impossible to buy, so...
Yeah.
Here we are.
I will probably get it at some point. I don't know if I'll get it at launch, just because I feel like the beginning of next year is going to be just a shit fest.
February is like insane.
Yeah.
So it's like, I think I'm better off in January just like playing an older game to last me till February.
Mm-hmm.
But it's good that it's coming out. Well, I don't know, because God of War is coming out in January, so maybe it'll be good, but I don't know. It's one of the games that I'm not super excited for in terms of a PC announcement. Like, I know it was kind of leaked with, like, the NVIDIA Play.
Mm-hmm.
The GeForce Now, like, yeah.
2 months ago.
Yep.
Obviously, I want Bloodborne, but it's whatever. I really want Bloodborne, but the more reasonable request would be the Uncharted collection, at least 1 through 3, because I know they announced 4 and Lost Legacy, so it would be nice to have like all the Uncharted games on PC.
I don't know if they'll go back to 1. That's the only one I'm not sure about.
Well, I feel like that if they're gonna do it, they're just gonna port
the collection
as is. Yeah.
That's true.
And so it'll include 1. Because 1 is very of its time.
It is dated, but it was very, very fun. It's the Uncharted that I beat the most times.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I can say the same thing, because I think I'd every time, like, after 2, or before 2 came out, I replayed 1, and then after, or before 3 came out, I replayed 1 and 2. So yeah, I think I can say the same.
Oh, mine's definitely 2. I played that one the most by far.
But yeah, it'd be good to get those as well, because I probably will get Uncharted 4 for PC.
I mean, I definitely agree with you guys with the God of War PC. That's probably going to show up in the State of Play. Just because of the leak, that's definitely something I think it is going to show as well. So I definitely agree with that. Now, I also think there's not going to be any big, I don't think there's going to be anything big here. I do think that we probably are going to see Final Fantasy 16. So I'm with you on that, Rob. Maybe we'll see Final Fantasy 16. You know, they show Forspoken, Square Enix event, and during this Sony event. So I think 16, since it's stated, well, not stated, but it's likely coming out next year. For 16, I think we're gonna see that. At like the, you know, like the stinger, like the last thing that they show. Like everything else is gonna be like things that we already know about, but the last thing they show is gonna be like 16. Also another hope, and it's not a big one, is Returnal, because there is a rumored update, and it's like a hefty update. Maybe we'll get Returnal DLC. I wouldn't be mad about that.
All I want is a Returnal save.
Well, maybe that's what the update is. It's like a big mega, you know, update.
That would be good.
You know, DLC, new enemies, because Returnal is that type of game, and I think maybe that's what House Mark is probably working on. So maybe we'll see that in the state of play. But anything else, I'm not really expecting, because this one came out of nowhere. So if it surprises me, it surprises me. In the back of my head right now, I'm like, Marvel vs. Capcom 2 Evo Edition show up. That would be so epic, but...
I feel like you say that for every type of thing, and it never
happens. Yeah. It never happens. Never does.
But I mean, maybe eventually you'll be right.
Yeah. Yeah. When it does happen, you're going to see me, like, drop on the floor, like, it happened. Oh, my God. I'm going to start, like, bawling. Like, finally...
It'll be for the event where you don't expect it to happen. Like, you've given up.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we'll like see.
Nintendo Direct.
Yeah, Nintendo Direct. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's going to show up there. No, but anyway. I have no like further expectations besides like Final Fantasy 16 is like the biggest expectation I have as the stinger of the group. But everything else is that we're going to see is it's going to be shown.
I have a feeling they're going to show Call of Duty Vanguard, some snippet of it of some sort. They always seem to show stuff for Call of Duty games. Maybe Sifu, you know, like the
martial arts game. Yeah,
I could see it.
Oh yeah,
you know, could definitely see it. Like maybe a little bit more details, some gameplay of that, because they started to show a little bit more a couple months ago. So I could definitely see that, and it'd be cool to see something for Stray. That'd be kind of neat.
Well, show more story. They showed a lot of it. Did they? Yeah, just recently.
Did I completely miss it?
Yes, you did. It was actually at one of the conference. Yes. Annapurna did have their own conference. So, yeah.
Okay.
So
well, then, hey, maybe they'll show a little bit of that. But the other game that Microsoft now owns, what is it?
Which one?
Deathloop was one.
Yeah.
But the other one was...
Ghostwire Tokyo.
Yes.
Yes.
That'd be cool if we saw something for that. Even if it was just a little bit deeper of a trailer or something. But that would be cool to see. And I feel like it could. I mean, that should be coming out 2022 sometime.
Yeah, I want to see like a deep dive into that, because I'm very interested in it. It looks just very weird and very cool, stylish.
Yep.
And also first person with combat.
Maybe that'll take like Deathloop spot, you know, like that'll be the one that's in like every PlayStation show.
Probably be the Deathloop DLC like Rob mentioned.
Mm-hmm. It could. Yep. It very well could, you know. But yeah, I'm sure it's going to be heavily, I'm guessing there's going to be a lot of indies in it, which not going to make a lot of the world happy, but I'm stoked for it.
Yeah, you're always stoked for the indies.
They do tend to be a little bit more interesting than a lot of like the AAA stuff. It's like, okay, yeah,
it's like
we know it's coming.
It's always like unexpected, mm-hmm. You know, like indie games, like, oh, you know, a mail carrier, what's this about, you know? Just interesting ideas that seem mundane but like art somehow. So
and I always want the Marvel vs. Capcom to be revealed, so yeah,
we shall see.
Oh, another thing to note too, because we did go over the God of War PC. God of War actually sold 19.5 million as of August 2021. This is God of War 2018, by the way, not the series.
Turns out, God of War is a strong IP.
Yeah, it's a very strong IP. I was actually surprised at the number because I thought it was like the whole series, and it's actually just the 2018 game.
I mean, I don't know if I was that surprised just because how many PlayStation 4s were out at that time, even. You know? And, like, I mean, it was a... What was the last God of War game we had?
Ascension, yeah. And that's the surprising part, like, to me. That's why it's surprising, because the change in gameplay, like, the whole, like, design was changed. Everything was changed about it. It pretty much made it, you know, they made a whole completely different game with just the characters and the cast. And I wish, like, I know we were mentioning it before with, like, Ratchet. Ratchet is now to a point where it's safe and it could sleep a bit. Yeah, it could sleep a bit. You know, it could sleep a bit and we don't see it, like, for 10 years and I'll be fine with it. That's for sure. But if they go ahead and do, like, this whole new Ratchet and, you know, do, like, a different idea, do a different game design concept, and it just becomes all new, then that would be awesome. And God of War is definitely, like, a blueprint to that in terms of the success, because they did something crazy, like, seeing it sell this much. And changing up the gameplay style and everything. I wish Gears of War did this. This is something I wish Gears of War did. Gears of War is always in my heart because of this, because it's like, I think they could pull something like this off at Gears of War. Because Gears of War, to me, feels stale. I love Gears of War, but again, it's like Ratchet and how God of War used to be, where it's just safe.
Yeah, I mean, what helped God of War 2 is it looked insanely good.
Yeah.
And it reviewed extremely well.
It was very much a departure from the previous games.
Yeah.
Especially in terms of, like, tone.
It was just like a maturity. Gameplay.
Thing. Yes, it's a lot more mature. I mean, not like Gears of War is immature, but it definitely...
It has a similar tone. 4
and 5 have not had that... It just feels like a continuation.
Yeah.
And not like it's necessarily a bad thing, but I don't think it's like a big...
departure. Yeah.
Jump. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So, like, I mean, I'm hoping, like, after 6, maybe, or maybe if they did something separate, like a spinoff.
Well, I know a lot of people loved Hive Busters, so...
Oh, yeah, I never got around to playing that.
Me neither, but a lot of people absolutely loved that one, so... Maybe kind of what they did there. I don't know if that changed.
It didn't.
I don't really know much about it at all. But
it did not change the actual, like, core gameplay. I think in the same, like, fashion as God of War, Gears of War should do maybe more survival horror. Play into that. Make it different. Because now God of War, like, you know, seeing the success of God of War and going into God of War 2, God of War 2 looks like a open world RPG. Like, it looks like it's evolved now, if that makes any sense. Now there's, like, places you can go to and, you know, go into a town. That's what it looks like. Like, from what we've seen of the trailer that was shown off at Sony's conference back in September, like, God of War really... turned around, and it's kind of like Final Fantasy 14, where it, like, turned around. But Final Fantasy 14, you know, the first edition, the first version, was a bad game. Yeah, it was a disaster. Yeah. I mean, God of War was just getting stale, like, you know, it was just being safe. But it kind of reminds me of that in that sense, where, like, wow, they did a bang up job with God of War 2018. Like, it's you know, the whole design around it was solid, and I wish more games like took that initiative to move out of, you know, those same sequels like going forward. So yeah, if Gears of War were to come out with like a survival horror sort of spin-off title, yeah, I would be so down for it. Because God of War 2018 was great. It was a great experience. So definitely,
I mean, it's just a huge risk.
Yeah. That's the thing. Yeah, this is definitely a huge risk, but this paid off. Like, it definitely paid off. It made God of War into a bigger success. I guess so we're going to go into our final topic. And we talked a little bit about this before in our last podcast, and it's Grand Theft Auto, the trilogy, the definitive edition. They finally showed off screenshots and a trailer for it. What did you guys think?
I'm sure a lot of people are going to scream, oh, it looks like Fortnite, oh, this and this. But like, when you compare like scenes like side by side, it looks way better. I mean, there's like some slight tonal looking changes because it looked more like it kind of had like a sunset filter in like, you know, in Vice City and like GTA 3. But like when they're compared side by side, like it's, I feel like they did a good enough job without totally revamping everything.
I totally agree with you. I think they did a great job. Seeing the trailer and looking at it, I'm like, this is the best possible remake that they can do without completely remaking the game into like into GTA 5 like sort of style. It kind of looks like Pixar-ish when you think about it. It looks like an adult Pixar, film. I thought it looked great because it definitely gave me those feels of like first playing like Grand Theft Auto 3, San Andreas, and Vice, like all into one. It gave me those feels. And I'm not big into open world games. I always mentioned I'm not big into open world games. But when Grand Theft Auto 3 came out and Vice City and San Andreas came out, they were huge. I played them, obviously. I know them. They're classics in the video game industry. They are classics. They started these open world games that we're playing now. They started that. They started that appeal. And seeing them running, it's just like, wow. Seeing them running... especially the way it got remastered, it still feels like I'm playing them on PS2, or this is what my mind remembers them as. So it definitely looked good. And I'm excited to just see them again, just for nostalgia's sake, because it definitely gives off a lot of nostalgia vibes. So I'm excited to replay them.
It'll be interesting how that nostalgia is different when a lot of the music is going to be different.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes.
That, because for me, Vice City was my entry into GTA. Like, I literally bought it on a whim at EB Games. I was like, hey, I'll buy it. And yeah, I loved it because of the setting, because of the music. Mm-hmm. And over the years, they have removed songs from the soundtrack on the Steam release and like some of the other releases. Every time they tried like dolling it up a little bit, I guess. So it's a little bit kind of like, I'm going to be disappointed if they cut a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
On the other hand, I will probably get it on... I might get on PC because it's on the Rockstar stupid game service, and I don't want to...
Rockstar Launcher or whatever?
Yeah. Like, just put it on everything. Fuck, dude.
Yeah.
but, like, on PC, at the very least, you should be able to, you know, mod the songs back into the game or something like that.
Jose and I, last time we talked, we actually talked about how cool it would be if they could just integrate Spotify into, like, your car radio somehow, and then just, like, those as, like, playlist. Like, that would be so awesome.
That I mean, they had it on PC.
I wish more games...
They had it on PC with the integration of, like, MP3s, so...
Well, yeah, yeah. They had custom radios like that before. Like I think even on Xbox, they had custom radio stations.
Yeah, that'd just be so cool if, like, you can just be like, oh, yeah, it tells you, like, connect your Spotify, you do it, and it pulls those playlists in. You know, it's, like, the same thing, but I don't know, like, the rights or how that would all work.
Yeah, like, that's a bit iffy. Yeah. But yeah, as someone who played or tried to play GTA Vice City fairly recently, like in the last 6 months, I do hope they make some changes to the gameplay, at least to the controls, because that game does not age well in terms of mechanics.
I'm pretty sure they said they tried to get them as close to 5
yes.
as possible.
Yes, oh, gameplay-wise, okay, yeah. Good. Yeah.
Then... That has me a little bit more interested in it. Because there was a patch or something to kind of overhaul the game a little bit on PC. Because I still have the original PC releases on Steam. Which is another thing, is like they fucking discontinued the goddamn original releases on all the platforms mm-hmm. before they released the stupid trailer. Which is the bullshittiest fucking thing.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it's the same thing that Square Enix did with like the pixel remasters for Final Fantasy. It's like, it doesn't harm anything to just have the old versions up there for people who, like, you know, maybe have an older computer and don't want to play the fancy schmancy updated ones. Just like, fucking leave it.
Well,
it's fine.
God. Here are the gameplay enhancements, by the way. Let me run them through. So you are getting the GTA 5 style controller layout. You are getting improved gunplay and targeting controls, and also upgraded drive-by controls in San Andreas. You're getting updated weapons and radio selection wheels. You're getting updated mini-maps with navigation. Now you can set waypoints in the game, and you're also getting the ability to restart a failed mission, which is awesome. I remember these old games did not have that. So... That is awesome. And also the visual enhancements, obviously high resolution textures, you're getting enhanced details in pretty the trees and the foliage, you're getting improved water and weather effects and draw distances. Well, you could see all of that in the trailer, that's for sure. But yeah, definitely, and I do agree with you, like the actual older game shouldn't have been taken off. But my thinking is that it has something to do with the licenses. And the music stuff is going to be a much bigger thing.
No,
you don't think so?
I mean, it's existed. No, it's existed this long on all the storefronts. I mean, they have removed stuff, but like it's existed this long on all the storefronts. There's no reason to have pulled them at this point. A week before they... you know, they announce, they officially reveal the things.
Convenient.
It's dumb. No. Yeah. What? It's dumb. It's just, I mean, to be perfectly fair, like, who's legitimately buying, you know, a copy of Vice City or Grand Theft Auto 3 now? But still, like, they should still be up there for people who want them, who, like, you know, have to do that for a certain, like, maybe they have, like, an older computer and, like, they just want to play older PC games. The preservation aspect of it, I guess I should say.
Yeah, what I think is weird is, like, Game Pass is getting San Andreas, you know.
Yes.
PlayStation Now is getting GTA 3.
Mm-hmm.
But they haven't said if you're able to buy these, like, a la carte.
Oh, yes. That's a good mention,
like,
yeah.
$60, but they haven't said, oh, yeah, you can buy each one's, like, $20 or something, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't think they'll have that.
So it's strange how they piece them out on like the services, which is incredibly smart by them because then they get paid by each of those areas. But like, it'd be weird if you can't buy them separately.
Yeah, it's so smart. Yeah, like thinking about that. Yeah, they never mentioned that. That is so true. And Vice City is nowhere to be found in the description. That's the
that
one.
That was on purpose. Like, you have to buy the full package to get Vice City.
They know which one is the best version.
They know.
They know. Yeah.
Because to be perfectly honest, like, if it was a la carte, I would probably just pick up Vice City.
I mean,
because
most,
of the nostalgia.
Most would go Vice City, San Andreas, then 3.
Yeah, well, for me, like, San Andreas, I stopped playing it because, like, I think there was one part where you had to learn how to swim. And I hadn't been swimming up to that point, and I was like, I don't want to grind out swimming, so I just stopped playing. Yeah. So that's kind of why I wouldn't play San Andreas again. But I mean, if they fix that, or at least this time, I would know to start swimming more.
Right.
It's just like, eh.
Yeah. What? Yeah, looks good. So
I'll play the Game Pass San Andreas, and you know, probably get my fill after like 5 or 10 hours, and just be done with it. But.
You know? Yeah, same with me. I'll play San Andreas, and then when it comes out on PS Now, I'll play 3. Just for nostalgia. Yeah. It's all going to be nostalgia. And like you said, 10 hours, yeah. I'm probably going to drop it from... I already know it. Going to drop both of them in like 5 hours after playing each. Like, go through the soundtrack, drive a bit. Yeah, but no...
Go through, drive a bit, realize that it has not aged well in terms of story or anything like that. Just like, and stop.
And I mean, that's the thing with like Grand Theft Auto, even 5, like, it handles okay, but it still feels kind of clunky, you know?
Yeah.
There was like I forget what forum was going on, but people were talking about how well, like, the handling, like aiming, shooting, and everything was for like Max Payne. What was it?
Yes, Max Payne 3 has one of the. It's one of the better. It's one of the better third person shooters. The Last of Us 2 is the only one that rivals. The only other third person shooter that rivals it in terms of like gun combat. Yeah.
And like just rip what you did on Max Payne 3 and toss that into Grand Theft Auto. It would make it way better. And that was in 2012? 13? That's an old game.
No, yeah. But isn't it 2009, maybe?
I don't know. It's old.
Yeah, somewhere around there.
Yeah, I think it's 2009. Yeah.
Either way, it's over 10 years old.
Oh, 2012. So I am off by a lot.
Yeah. So almost 10 years old, you know? And it handled that well, and then we have, like, GTA, which, it's okay, but you can tell it's, like, not the main aspect of what GTA is. But, that's neither here nor there. I would love to see a Max Payne game, though.
Talking about Max Payne, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, I don't even remember how Max Payne 3 ended. Like, I remember playing it on PC, looking on Steam, play about 9 hours of it.
I just remember the song that ends Max Payne 3 because it's so good.
I don't even remember that. I remember a part where he's in an airplane or something, or like a little small commuter plane. I don't remember.
Yeah, there's a lot going on in Max Payne 3. But it was good. And like, I feel like that's like one of those games that like the franchise could have kept going and then it just didn't, you know?
Well, I mean, it did switch hands from Remedy. I can't remember who made it originally.
Yeah, it's
did,
Remedy.
Quantum Break and such. Yes. Remedy. Yeah. So it switched hands from them to a completely different studio. So it was several years between 2 and 3. Because 2 came out, when did it come out? Like, it had to have been like 2003.
Yeah, 2003. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's from 2003 to like, you know, the 2010s. So yeah, I wouldn't be opposed to another Max Payne.
So what you're saying is we should be expecting a Max Payne 4 reveal.
Every 10 years. Yeah, it looks like every 10 years a new Max Payne comes out. So 2003 to 2012, almost 10 years. So Max Payne 4 should be soon.
Then again, it does seem like Rockstar is basically incapable of making anything that's not
GTA,
Grand Theft Auto, or at this point, Red Dead. Because like the Bully's been like in the works for several years apparently, and then Agent has never materialized.
Agent
is done.
Yeah. So it's like, yeah, they don't know how to do anything else except for.
I mean, they're not that far
big
from
open world
like
games.
Activision at this point, you know, like they do Call of Duty and they got GTA.
I mean, I guess they do it the best, but still, it's kind of like, well,
yeah, it'd be nice for some variety, especially since like their other franchises are good, you know?
And especially since they're going to re-release GTA 5 for the third time on three generations. Yeah.
That's probably going to be on four generations.
Yeah.
They'll be like remaking that one in like PS7 or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they won't even be remaking it. They'll just
and then we're going to see Grand Theft Auto, the trilogy, Definitive Edition 2. So yeah, going back straight into that. Yeah, that's what it seems like.
Yeah. I mean, that game just keeps selling incredibly well everywhere all the time.
I mean, this one, the GTA trilogy, I think this one is going to do gangbusters too. Like, it's going to definitely sell, and it's going to sell purely on nostalgia. It's definitely going to do that. So, yeah. Can't wait for the next remaster because, you know what? Talking about the GTA, the trilogy and GTA 5, maybe they'll remaster GTA 4. That's one where I would like to see. I would definitely love to see GTA 4. Even though I play it on my PC all the time, I would love to see that get a remastered treatment.
Well, you probably don't have to wait long because it's probably going to happen.
It probably is going to happen. I would not surprise me to see like a remastered GTA 4 with the episodes. Mm-hmm. But I want it just purely so that hopefully it would be a good PC port, unlike the one that's currently on PC.
Is it bad?
It's not good.
No, it's not good, but
it's not very well optimized. And it's like you still need like even like a modern computer, like a high-end modern computer, still can't really run it very well.
What? Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, it's weird. Yeah, it's such a weird thing. It's still, it's just not optimized correctly. There is like some settings where I have to like keep on low for like the frame rate. No, there's some settings where I have to put on high so that the frame rate could run like at a certain. It's weird. It's weird. There's just a lot of weird things going on with the optimization of that game for me to get like a high frame rate. And I'm also running mods on it too. So, yeah, there's just like some little specific glitches. I don't know what it is in their engine. So yeah, I agree with you, Rob. But yeah, if they redo it, if they remake it so it's optimized, it would probably look better too. You know, they could do that. And it'll run better. I mean, I'm running it decent. I feel like I'm running it decent with all like the HD mods and I forgot there's one big like mod that everybody uses now. It's like the real life mod. I think that's the one I use. But yeah, it's I wish it could run better. I just wish it could run better, even though I am running it at good frames. So I am running it at decent, good frames. So
that ends the Grand Theft Auto podcast.
I think that is the most I've cared about Grand Theft Auto. In years.
It's a nostalgia. It's a nostalgia. Of,
yeah,
that's exactly
it
what
is.
It is.
And I hate to admit it, but it is 100% nostalgia. Yeah. I mean, even playing it originally was based on 80s nostalgia to begin with. So let's just double up on it.
Yeah.
I mean, what else we got?
So yeah, so we'll see when it does come out. It comes out in like 2 weeks, November 11th, I believe. So it comes out pretty soon.
Yeah.
So yeah, we'll see what happens to the music then. I'm sure we're going to complain about it on a future episode. But I guess that's it for today's episode. And we're going to officially close the floodgates today. So definitely like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and hit us up on all social media platforms. Also, subscribe to Dull Pixels Radio on Spotify, Apple Music. We're on Amazon. We're on iHeartRadio. Everywhere podcasts could be found, we are there. So definitely check us out. And you'll get the episode. You'll get any episode we'll post. You'll get that right away once it goes up if you subscribe. So definitely check that out. And And we'll see you next time.
See ya.
Catch you on the flip side.